Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. The U.S. Senate opened the impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump this week. And while many Republicans have signaled they are unwilling to convict Trump for his role in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, experts at Duke University recently explained why Congress must do more to address homegrown terrorism. David Shanzer is a counterterrorism expert and director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security. And he says it's very important to prevent these extremists from repeating the success that many of them believe they realized during the January 6th insurrection.
Let me just make clear, protests, pro-Trump political movements, people who want to continue to argue about whether the election was stolen or not, it's not really healthy for our democracy, but it's a perfectly legitimate activity. It's when these activities foment violence that it becomes a national security threat. So the way to deal with that inside the United States is aggressive law enforcement. And I really believe that the FBI has an obligation and a duty to pursue these cases to the greatest extent permissible by law. And that includes even the people who didn't engage in violence, but wandered into the Capitol. I see there's a debate about whether they should be charged or not. I think it's important to bring charges because, you know, five people were killed and a police officer was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. So people who were involved in that have to understand that protest is fine, but violence is not. Another thing with the law enforcement is I think it's very important to dig deep. We need to get to at least understand how organized these groups are. Do they have an infrastructure, fundraising, leadership, communications networks? First of all, we can find a lot of that out through the investigation, whether or not those lead to kind of conspiracy charges or not. But if there are conspiracy charges that can be brought, and I know the FBI seems to be trying to develop more sophisticated cases, again, if the law allows it, great. If it doesn't, they shouldn't pursue them. But I think those can help us start to unravel these networks and get a better understanding of their structure and how deep they really are through the law enforcement process.
Sue Gordon has spent 31 years as a U.S. intelligence officer and now works at the Duke Sanford School of Public Policy. She believes former President Trump's false claims of election fraud fueled the violence we saw in D.C. and that the U.S. now has work to do to repair its global reputation as the world's leading democracy.
I think the U.S. as a leader in democratic values is important, but there's a bit of black eye now in terms of what moral authority do we have. So first is, how do we deal with it ourselves? What is our seriousness of purpose? I think the 2-3 weeks after January 6th, I think showed the rule of law, showed a purposeful account, showed how we are able to, exactly as David said, use our mechanisms to keep it from blooming. That was really important. The second is what the Biden administration is going to do to make sure that we're part of the global community, that we have conversations with the free and open societies to make sure that we continue to espouse those principles. And then I think just three, internationally, we have got to have a concerted effort on disinformation because that is a part of this equation.
And while Gordon would focus on tamping down disinformation, Shanzer believes it's time that Congress enact a new law that would target the kind of politically motivated violence that many of us never thought we'd see in the United States of America.
I'm an advocate for adding a specific law relating to domestic terrorism. Just so the listeners are clear, there are plenty of laws, federal laws out there, relating to weapons, explosives, trespass on federal property, and whatnot, that the Capitol protesters, rioters, and others can be charged with. The reason to create a new law, a new essentially federal crime that says that engaging in politically motivated violence inside the U.S. borders is a specific crime is really to help us get at what I was talking about before, which is, how do you get deeper into these organizations in a way that we can preempt attacks, especially as these groups get kicked off of mainstream communications platforms and are pushed further underground, encouraging them to use encryption and so on. And I believe that if we have a domestic terrorism law, that also means that providing material support to a organization that is planning and plotting specific kinds of crimes and violence would now also be a crime. And if that's a crime, then you can get a search warrant and a wiretap warrant if there's probable cause that an entity or an individual is providing material support to engage in domestic terrorism. Those are the kinds of tools that I think we need in order to get a grip and really start penetrating and unraveling these violent domestic terrorism networks that we have within the United States. There is a big civil liberties debate about this law, which is why there's controversy within the Congress. And I'm sensitive to that, and I understand those claims that this law could be used to essentially try to stifle legitimate protest. But I think they can be drafted in a way that there has to be connectivity to intentional violence. And if we do that, we can mitigate those civil liberties concerns.
Schanzer says education can also play a big role in diffusing the anger and political division we saw in the last election cycle.
Civics education is really, you know, if we want to get down to root causes and long-term kind of solutions, we've lost sight of the way we teach history, the way we teach about our government, about balances and fairness and the value of democracy and elections and so on. So that's kind of a long-term thing. I am very enamored of the idea of expanding national service. We are becoming so polarized, people living in very different worlds without very little commonality. And that's why we have these situations where people are essentially living in almost two different factual realities. I think the idea of having people, once they graduate from high school or college, taking 1 or 2 years to do some form of national service where people from all over the country, no matter what their economic circumstance, no matter what their pedigree, their educational pedigree, actually work together in teams, building trails, helping with contact tracing, public health, infrastructure. And I think giving those experiences would actually help weave the country together a lot more deeply and give people a better understanding of what people who are not like them, what their life experiences are like. And I think those kinds of things, if we think creatively about them, can help bring our country together. And that would dissipate, you know, this kind of polarization and also this lack of trust in our common institutions that is fueling this movement.
One step that Sue Gordon, the former Deputy Director of National Intelligence, would take to prevent terrorism at home and security threats abroad would be to restrict access that former President Trump has to sensitive information moving forward.
Former President Trump, if you just look at his security profile, it's daunting. He's incredibly public. He has implied that he intends to seek further office. He has global business interests. And he's the former president who has everything that we've known, incredibly important things that are in his head. And so if you look at all that and you think about our adversaries and competitors' interests with respect to him, I would be very purposeful about deciding whether I just as a matter of courtesy continue to provide classified information. So my recommendation would be purposeful and not until the nation's interest was served by giving him that information. And the beauty of it is you don't actually have to make a special rule. You just have to apply the one that you already have. So I have security clearances, but clearance doesn't give me access to information. Need to know does. So apply need to know. I think you'll decide that right now, he doesn't have that. If it changes in the future for safety reasons or because he's going to advance a national interest, then you just provide him the information he needs. This is one where if you play it straight down the middle, I think you serve everyone's interests very well.
Gordon, a career CIA officer who served 2 years in the Trump administration, called for cutting off intelligence briefings to the former president in a January op-ed that appeared in the Washington Post just after the Capitol riots. Last week, President Biden also weighed in, saying that because of Trump's erratic behavior, it would be prudent to cut off the former president's access in the future to sensitive materials. According to the New York Times, the move marks the first time a former president has been excluded from the tradition of receiving access to such briefings. Coming up next, one of North Carolina's most experienced political observers shares his thoughts on where our politics stand and where they're headed. Don't go away.